Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Ah, yes. Happy hump day, one and all. Good Wednesday morning to you. It is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. We come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. Mikey B, Pete the Body across the way. AB with your update. 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time we go. 3 to 6 Pacific here on CBS Sports Radio. We thank all of our affiliates across the country. Sirius and XM Channel 206. The app as well. Same bat channel, same bat spot every single day, Monday through Friday with you. Good morning, Taz. How you doing, bud?
All good, Moose. All good. Great to be here. Great to do another Taz and the Moose edition of Taz and the Moose right here, Live Jones. And, yeah, we're packed. We're packed on this hump day. We got nothing but content, topics, jocularity, insight, opinions.
Oh, we got it all. We got it all for you. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And we get it going with a little soccer, right? Or football, as they call it across the pond.
F-U-T.
Right. That's exactly right. Now, France advances to the World Cup final on Sunday in Moscow. They await their opponent, which is going to be either Croatia or England, as they play the semifinal this afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern time, 11 Pacific. France with the 1-0 victory over Belgium yesterday afternoon in what was a tremendous atmosphere. Listen, it's interesting, Taz, because I would love to love soccer the way I feel like the world loves soccer. I got into the match.
That's a great setup.
I would love to love soccer the way everybody else in the world seems to love soccer.
If you have, ladies and gentlemen, the glass right now has just become to be half full right there. But
right.
I love it. I'm feeling you. Go ahead.
Because I got into honest. The match yesterday. Yeah. Even though the United States was not involved in this World Cup, yes. I found it very entertaining. You could sense the passion of the different countries through the television set. We've joked around before about the reaction from the different fan bases.
Well, they're crying in the audience.
Right, crying, tears, celebrating. Yeah.
Very emotional.
The scantily clad women, whatever it might be. Yeah. It is an unbelievable atmosphere, right? Goal celebrations. We talked about set pieces. There's so much to get into.
Oh, layers.
Right. And I feel like I'm missing out something. When France beats Belgium yesterday and they show the Champs-Élysées over in Paris.
Well said.
And it is absolutely packed with French soccer fans.
What is that, the center in town?
Yeah, like the, you're right.
The Commons.
Correct. It is packed with French soccer fans.
Yeah.
Cheering on the victory. I'd love to care about soccer as much as different countries do.
But Moose,
yeah,
you are not a French man.
I'm not a French man.
So this is part of the reason why emotionally, you're a sports fan, so you like the sport end of it.
Say America won the semifinal. Would you be running to Times Square to celebrate?
I would probably stay overnight. I would probably sleep in the streets with an American flag over my body.
You would not.
And sleep as my blanket. No, I would not. I would not. I would not. I would not.
You would lock the door and say, time for another cigar.
Yes, exactly. No, I would not. I'm a proud American, but I'm not sleeping in Times Square.
So am I. We're both proud Americans. We love the country we live in. But even if it was the United States winning that match yesterday, I would not be celebrating the way, and I feel like I'm missing out on
would
something.
Would you put an American flag on the roof of your car while you're driving through and beep the horn, chanting USA because USA advanced to the final? Would you do that?
Probably not. Okay. Would you?
On the big truck? My big truck, I probably would.
You would?
I'd probably have the flag, because I have a trailer hitch and I got a flag post.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and I'd probably crank Born in the USA as I'm trucking along with Bruce Springsteen.
You know, right. My luck is I'd attach it to the hood. It would get dislodged, go to the front windshield, and I'd hit a tree.
That might happen. But we don't have to worry about this because our country, soccer team didn't even make it in.
They did not make it in. So, yeah, but it was an unbelievable atmosphere yesterday watching France defeat Belgium. And a couple things you take away. To be so young and so good, the French team is the second youngest team, I think only to Nigeria, I believe.
Yes, you are correct.
In this World Cup tournament. They've got 19-year-olds all over the place,
crazy,
Dads.
Crazy.
Flying and doing unbelievable things. It's amazing to be that good, that young, this early. And a lot of the experts, I guess, coming into the tournament saying, if France is able ever to figure it out, they're going to be a difficult team to deal with. Well, that young team certainly has figured things out, and they were clearly the better team yesterday against Belgium.
Oh, they were, and Samuel Umtiti, definitely, he was the front man. He was the guy who got it done, rocking that number five. He played great, tremendous defender for sure, and had the winning goal against Belgium. So the thing is, Belgium, they had many chances.
They did.
You and I talked about this yesterday during the World Cup Roundup, which we'll do later on, ladies and gentlemen, for those that are like, wait a minute.
Is this the Roundup?
Is this the Roundup? No, it's not. Relax.
No, okay? It's a Wednesday in July.
Yeah. Well said. So, there you go. Done. Next. No, so, can't follow that. So, which is fair for that one.
No,
but I hear you. No, so, Umtiti definitely is the man. And Belgium definitely had their chances, but they put a donut up. You said it yesterday, Moose. You were saying that you and many others kind of felt that one of those teams yesterday, whoever wins that game yesterday, is going to go on to become the World Cup champion.
Right.
Which I don't know. I don't agree with that narrative.
Okay.
Because I think today, and we'll get into later on, but I think the team that's going to win today will be the team that wins the World Cup.
You believe that?
I know you got the Greek, and you'll give your predictions,
but
I'm going to give
fair.
My prediction.
If England ever wins the World Cup, the world might not survive it.
Well, that's my team. Yes. I am vicariously living through the good people across the pond.
Right. So they now, for the French, you feel great for them, certainly.
Yes,
and they're
absolutely.
All young, and
Congrats.
They don't know what they're going through, and everything is clicked.
And they play fast, dude.
They do. They play fast, and they fly up and down the pitch. How about if you're Belgium, Taz, and... they call this group the Golden Generation for Belgium. They've got 7 or 8 world-class players. They looked at this World Cup as being their World Cup, third-ranked team in the nation coming into it. This was their window. This was it. They're not 19, 18 years of age. This was it for Belgium, and they lose 1-0 and did have opportunities early on in the match. Certainly late as well. They had
Definitely.
A couple chances that they were unable to try and tie the game up and get the equalizer. But, Taz, it's got to be disappointment if you're Lukaku, if you're one of these Belgian players, and this was your tournament, and you beat Brazil the match before, and you realize, all right, we're an underdog again taking on France, but we've got 7 or 8 world-class players. We've got an opportunity to get ourselves for the first time in our nation's history to a World Cup final, and to lose 1-0 to France, to be that close yet so far away, it's got to be frustrating for Belgium.
It's got to suck. But, you know, the thing is, too, like, Belgium played really good, Moose. You know what I mean? They did.
They did.
It's just a good game. I mean, I watched this whole game. I know you did, too. And I was dialed in. I understand that, you know, when you don't have a dog in the fight, and that dog being Team USA, it gets a little bit, some folks are a little bit distant to it. But I got to say, I think a lot of people watching that game yesterday, American sports fans, let's be honest. I mean, there was nothing else on during that 2 p.m. Eastern. You know, when you're watching paint dry, or you're working in the office, maybe you got it on your laptop while you're working. You're watching a soccer, even though there's no American team. When you're looking at France, looking at Belgium, they're battling out. It was a really good game. And France took the victory. But, yeah, it's tough for Belgium.
Well,
yeah,
it is because
they don't have a bunch of young kids on the team, your point.
They don't, Taz. And you know, that as a former professional athlete, you build yourself up. Now, everyone's going to say, well, a lot of these guys are making millions of dollars, right? They're world-class soccer players.
On their pro teams, right?
Whatever professional league they're playing over in Europe or what have you. That being said, there's something about playing for your country. there's something, these moments, these tournaments, like the World Cup, and you don't, as Taz and I are not the biggest soccer fans in the world, but you can appreciate the significance of the event that you're watching, because you get a sense watching any of these countries that they'd give up anything to try and advance to the next round. They really would. And to have it all the chips in the middle of the table on this round, this year, this group, and to fall short when you look at a French team that clearly in 4 years is going to be that much better, but they realize their time is now, even given how young they are. For Belgium, this was it. No matter how much money they're making, it's going to be disappointment. They're going to look at it and say, okay, we had a great run to the World Cup semifinals, but once again, we get there, we don't score, we lose the game 1-0. Now we're going to play in the consolation game on Saturday.
Yeah, and you know, I think for Belgium, you would think that their grassroots and their younger soccer programs and soccer players playing, you know, school ball in their country, you know, when they watch their countrymen and go to the Final Four of such a prestigious, gigantic tournament in the World Cup that the world is watching, and your country of Belgium, boom, goes there. If you're a young soccer player or a parent of a young soccer player that's 12, 13 years old, man, that's really, that keeps you inspired. You're proud of that, even though they didn't get, you know, didn't get the W, and they're not going to go into the championship, but it's still not to be ashamed of if you're Belgium. They did great.
Ratings will decide whether or not America was interested in the World Cup. And the ratings, certainly, without the United States being involved, we know the tangible numbers. I think Fox or some equated it to about a $50 million loss for Fox with the United States team not being involved in this World Cup after they got the rights to it.
Do we know what happened, Moose? What happened? Like, why didn't they get in? Why didn't our team get in? Why didn't the Team USA get in?
Well, they didn't qualify.
No, I know that.
Well,
like, thanks, Captain Obvious. Yeah, but what do you think it was? We don't know. Right? Do we need to, like, revamp the team? What are we doing here?
I think it would be bad. If we got somebody on in terms of the development of young soccer players in our country, pay for play, Taz, where you and I have talked about in other sports, but certainly that has been an issue with young soccer players in this country. I think it's really about the developmental process. Now you look at the under-18 team for the United States, they're pretty good. Unfortunately, when you look at it, they transitioned. They fired their manager or coach. They went old school to try and qualify. It did not work. And hopefully at some point in time, they look at this step back as a couple steps forward. But I don't know, Taz. We've been, as sports fans...
I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm just frustrated.
But I get it. But as sports fans, I think you look at United States soccer, and it gets frustrating watching other countries succeed. And not saying that we're going to be the best and the best of everything, but the fact that we are such an underdog and you don't qualify for the World Cup is kind of striking, given the athletes that this country produces
The resources we have.
No doubt.
For our athletes.
Right. LeBron James is one of the greatest athletes this country has ever produced. Serena Williams, who just reached the women's semifinals at Wimbledon.
Well, if both those people were on Team USA Soccer, I like our chances.
Right, Serena Williams, male, female, one of the great athletes this country has ever produced. Yes. So it's not a case that the athletes are not there. It's a matter of developing those athletes and world-class players. That's also different because, Taz, there is a tangible difference. When you watch France play and Belgium play, and Brazil play, the depth of passing, the soft touches, having an understanding of space and speed and the power, setting guys up, there is a tangible difference watching guys who understand it and have a great knowledge of the game, but also have the talent to play at an elite level as compared to other countries.
No, I agree, Moose. Well said. I mean, and the thing is, too, you know, last October when we didn't qualify and Team USA lost 2-1 against Trinidad and Tobago.
Right.
So that's not two teams, you know.
Right? No, that's right.
One
right, that's one, right. Trinidad and Tobago.
So
right.
In essence, we lost to two teams combined into one, if you think about that. Trinidad and Tobago.
Right. We're not an underdog in the match.
Right. Well...
Don't paint it like America was up against the world.
Positivity in it.
Right.
Okay.
It was an embarrassing loss.
It was. 2-1, stunning defeat. Horrid. And here we are bringing it up again.
Now, but, I don't maybe it's a sign that they're loose. You mentioned England. Do you like the fact that they're training or in their final training session before their semifinal today?
England,
that is.
That's my team.
That they were training with a rubber chicken and tossing it around on the pitch.
Yeah, I know. Some of my resources, my people told me about it. I don't understand what the... So they just to stay loose and just take the...
Right.
Have a little jocularity.
Right, yes.
I think that's cool. That shows confidence. I think if you're the opponent of a team who's training with a rubber chicken, you might say, well, how serious are they taking this game? Or... how confident are these frigging guys? That's probably what you're saying.
Well, wouldn't that be a positive sign that they're loose?
Yes, I definitely think
that they're feeling good.
Yes,
that the moment might not be too big for them.
Yes,
that they're enjoying themselves.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's what you should do.
That's what you should be, right? I would rather have that than a team that's walking around with a clenched jaw.
Yeah,
and say, "Oh my God, it's a World Cup semifinal."
Well, like when Russia was playing, I don't think they were playing with rubber chickens.
Right? No, I don't
think the coaching staff was allowing that.
No,
just saying.
I don't.
You know,
right? They were not. No, they were not loose.
That was going on.
No.
Croatia.
There's a lot going on in Russia. Yes,
Croatia's playing England today, as we know, and we'll get into that later on. But Croatia's not running around with a rubber chicken. They're probably thinking, "Nah, England's running around with a rubber chicken, and they're playing kickball." No, what's that? Remember that game you played like in college, a little ball, like
not foosball.
What's it called?
Hacky sack. Yeah.
Snacky yammy sack. Right.
Hacky sack.
Yammy sack. We'll call it. Yeah, on the show. So hacky sack.
Hacky sack.
Hacky sack. Yeah. So it's like you're doing that with a rubber chicken. You're playing hacky sack if you're England.
Yes.
To stay loose.
You're kicking the rubber chicken.
And meanwhile, Croatia's doing, you know, up-downs and wind sprints.
Right.
Training.
You know, but life's good if you're Harry Kane, no?
Oh, geez, are you kidding me?
You're a world-class player.
No.
Good-looking guy.
They're all good-looking guys. All these soccer players, no matter what country they're from.
I was telling my wife.
Can one of these guys be ugly with not perfect facial hair?
Well, I was telling my wife, what amazes me sometimes is you watch these matches, and I get the heat plays a role, but it's amazing after running around for 90 minutes,
God.
Some of them look like they were just running around for a couple minutes. They don't look winded.
No,
they don't look
guessed.
Exhausted,
no,
not gone.
No,
they're not dripping in sweat.
No.
Taz, imagine if you and I were out there running around for 90 minutes.
No.
What we'd look like at the end of that match.
90 minutes. I couldn't do that for
they would
9
have,
minutes.
They would have
nine
the
minutes.
Medic. The medic would be out there with paddles probably 15 minutes
they'd
in.
They'd be taking us out there in a helicopter, helivac, to the hospital.
Taz, they're in such elite-level shape that they run around and they don't sweat.
They're freaks. And the field... Dude, the field is gigantic.
Right.
Okay, it's just bigger than a football field. If I was running out there and I was trying to make a pass to you, I'd drop, hold up my chest, my quads, I'd pull a hammy. They'd be medevacking me to the hospital, and you'd be right behind me.
I'd probably be before you. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Did the World Cup capture your attention? We want to hear from you. On the phones, hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Taz and the Moose as well.
Oh, yeah.
And why is it so hard to get into soccer here in the United States? Want your reaction, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Taz and the Moose with you. Just getting going on this busy Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance. What's the matter?
I was just telling the guys in the control room I enjoy this song. It's a good tune, as they would call it.
Okay. This is one I gave you, Pete?
Thank you.
Yes. Ding.
Never fail. Give me the credit, Jones. Mark Melusis, ladies and gentlemen.
I was just curious. Yeah. I just want the audience to know.
We should do a little poll to see the creative. Who's contributing more creative to the show? You contribute a lot.
We talk about strength in the duo, right? No singular success, dual success.
No
right?
I in team type thing?
Correct.
All right.
Right.
My bad.
But you initially want to start off a Wednesday, middle of the week in July, and draw a separation. About who is more of creative influence on the show. Thank you, Taz. Good morning.
Competitive at times.
Good morning. Yes. Welcome aboard. Great. It's great to be a teammate.
You
anyway,
got it, pal.
Yes.
Speaking of good morning, look who's in the room.
Hey, Bogish.
AB is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning,
good morning.
Champ. Good moment.
Good morning. Yes, Segley had to run out there and let Bogush know it's update time.
No, I was there. I knew.
Well, he's hanging out with his friends in the
newsroom. He's on his Chromebook.
Yeah, never forget.
Don't have that today.
He's probably buying something on Walmart. That's a great brand, and they have a bunch of stuff on there. Right?
You know what? I do need to do some shopping at some point today.
There you go.
Well,
that's plenty.
What are you thinking?
I'm buying a bunch of stuff on Walmart.
Free two-day shipping, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Bring it.
Yes. Take it away, Andrew.
Oh, thanks, Mark. So, Oriole fans, enjoy
this. How long we have to lay out for you to go?
Well, you can.
I know. It's like...
Count on Machado. One down. Jones at first. He does not run. And the pitch is swung on and hits the right field. Back it goes. Judge is back. At the wall. He leaps and it's gone. It got out of here. Machado with a home run.
Second game-tying homer last night from Manny Machado. Jim Hunter called
it. Stock rising more than it was. Mm-hmm. You understand that with Machado?
Yes.
Eminem, Manny, Jones, Machado. That's him. That's right.
Jim Hunter with the call there on Orioles radio. The O's finally beat the Yankees 6-5 on Jonathan Scope's RBI single bottom nine. Machado managing the two long balls despite all those trade rumors swirling around.
It crosses my mind, I'm not going to lie. You just try to enjoy every moment, try to enjoy the season like I have, you know, since day one, since I stepped in here, you know.
Yeah.
Just try to take it all in, and nobody ever wants to think about that day.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. You're probably not.
Right. Was it Manny Machado, the same guy yesterday, after the Yankees whooped their butt, didn't he say that he don't want to talk about that?
Like, correct. Yeah.
And now.
Now he's in a better mood.
You noticed that, right?
Yes.
Okay, so let me make sure it wasn't just
same guy.
Same guy. Talking out of both sides of his mouth for a matter of 24 hours.
Correct.
Different day.
There you go, Manny. All right.
The Baltimore Sun adding the Red Sox to the list of teams that have reached out to the Orioles about Mr. Machado. Mm. The Yankee loss and Boston's eighth straight win, 8-4 over the Rangers, means the Red Sox have a 3.5 game lead atop the AL East. The Angels dropped the Mariners 9-3. The Cardinals pounded the White Sox 14-2. Cincinnati a 7-4 win in Cleveland. And the Astros outlasted the A's 6-5 in 11. The winning run scored on a ball that went about 6 feet from home plate. The ball started foul, went fair, was picked up by A's catcher Jonathan Lucroy, but he dropped the ball trying to tag Alex Bregman. Then Lucroy hit Bregman with his throw to first, allowing Kyle Tucker to score from third.
Craziest. You see that play? It was crazy.
Nuts,
really. It's like the game. Remember when you were a kid, the game Mousetrap? I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah,
it was like that.
Yeah.
Like Mousetrap meets baseball. It was like comedy of errors in a matter of about 20 seconds. Just wanted to share that with the group.
A more routine 6-2 win for the Blue Jays in Atlanta, and the Phillies down the Mets 7-3. So Philly has a one-game lead on the Braves in the NL East. Washington a 5-1 winner in Pittsburgh. The Padres beat the Dodgers 4-1, and Christian Yelich is back in Miami.
1-2 to Yelich. Ground ball, fair down the left field line. Kratz is going to come in and score. Jonathan Villar is going to be waved around third. Here comes the relay throw, and it is not in time. Yelich advances to third as he drives in two more. It's 8-4 Milwaukee.
Jeff Levering, Brewers Radio. 3 hits, 4 RBI for the former Marlin. Yelich's Brewers winning last night 8-4. Nats closer Sean Doolittle will miss Tuesday's All-Star game. The Wimbledon men's quarterfinals begin at 5 a.m. Pacific. Novak Djokovic takes on Kenya Shikori. Roger Federer meets Kevin Anderson. And England and Croatia play the second World Cup semifinal at 9 p.m. Moscow time. The winner meets France in Sunday's final. Boys?
All right, thank you, AB. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. If you would like to chat about France's victory over Belgium, the state of U.S. soccer, are you into the World Cup, or also who are you pulling for this afternoon or this morning, wherever it might be, England, Croatia, and the other World Cup semifinal. Do you believe there needs to be a consolation match on Saturday?
Consolation match? No. What is this, little league tournament?
Well, there is.
I don't agree. Listen.
Belgium's got one more match on Sunday. We'll face the loser of England and Croatia for the third place.
When I hear the word consolation and then the word game.
Yes.
I
agree with you. I don't think there's a need.
Well, I have a lot of, because I've experienced this as a dad a lot.
Yeah.
With my son. And you'll see, if your kids play sports going forward, high level sports at a young age, the consolation game is a nightmare because that just means we weren't good enough to qualify, Now, my son has sat with my son a lot in lacrosse, in tournaments all over Maryland and Virginia and up in Boston. We weren't good enough to qualify. We've been here the whole weekend, and now we lose at 10 a.m., and now we got to stick around to 1 p.m. for the consolation game, and that means more traffic.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is how parents stick. I can't speak for the World Cup. There's always traffic in Russia. We know that. So it's different than the Beltway or 95
of
coming
course.
From Baltimore into Jersey or Staten Island and Long Island in New York here.
Of course, we all know the traffic in Russia.
Of course, and Staten Island, but I digress. So the thing
is...
So the thing is, the consolation game, I just gave you the layout of the problem with it. You can't tell your kid, just like you can't tell these soccer players, you don't play the consolation game. So what's it look like? You took your ball and went home. You didn't win. You're not willing to compete. You're not a team guy. This is all the crap I told my son. And he made all those consolation games, and he's still mad at me that he played in those, consolation games when he was young. So when I hear consolation games, I get a little bit of an itch.
I could tell.
It's Wednesday. I get a little fired up.
I got you. So, get the World Cup consolation game on Saturday, depending on, we know one of the participants is going to be Belgium. Whoever loses the Croatia-England match this afternoon will be part of it. So we want your reaction on the phones at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
That was a hot cheese take. Remember hot cheese, that segment we did once on the show?
We did.
Ladies and gentlemen, we used to do a segment called Hot Cheese.
Well, we still do it. You just have to give Bilotti a heads up.
No, it's not.
We have hot cheese.
Yeah, that was the hot cheese segment right there.
Well, the open's great.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be like when one of us has a really aggressive when one of us has an aggressive take. And that happens a lot when there's an aggressive take.
Counting.
Yeah, good job. And I don't understand why that wasn't a hot cheese. And we haven't done, is hot cheese gone? Is it still part of
the show? No, it's still part of the show.
Cheese.
We haven't brought it off the island, have we?
I don't know, bro.
It's still there.
I'm cool. I love it. I think it's great.
Couple things.
Yes.
Well, you got to give them a heads up when you're ready for a hot out of the oven.
I'm very combustible. I don't know. My
biorhythms, the moment that you start going on a rant, you expect Bilotti to read your mind and just hit the hot cheese. And then you could be like, it's not a hot cheese moment. Don't jump the gun. I'll instruct you.
There's some Gouda.
We have hot cheese.
So you know that's the way that
I
would
like
go.
That. I'll instruct you. That's
I'll instruct you. Let me direct.
No, I'm just saying, like, I thought that was going to be a segment.
I agree. That would have been a night. That
we had meetings about this segment. And
I agree with you. We'll reinstitute it. No, it's still there. It's there.
All right. I didn't know.
Speaking of hot cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see what LeBron James did yesterday?
Yeah. Speaking of cheese, dough, and sauce, go ahead. Take it away, sir.
So I guess LeBron owns part of Blaze Pizza, right?
Right.
In California. Blaze, I was not familiar with this brand of pizza before yesterday.
Me neither. Maybe it's a West Coast deal. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I guess there are Blaze pizza joints all over the place.
Like the Los Angeles area, Culver City, that whole area.
Right. So it's not just, it's not just Mario's Pizza Place down the corner. It's not a mom and pop shop.
Right.
But that being said, LeBron James yesterday, and we know he's officially a Los Angeles Laker, announced via social media, and I think Clutch Sports did as well, about throwing a pizza party.
Yeah.
So I think it was a 3-hour window. If you showed up at a Blaze Pizza, you got free pizza.
It's a great deal.
Would you really wait online? And the lines were extremely long.
They wanted to meet their newest star in the City of Angels.
Well, there's the rub.
I know.
He wasn't
set it up on a tee for you. Yeah. Yeah. LeBron, no show city. He did not show up.
If you're going to tweet out, I'm ready for a pizza party, and throw out Blaze Pizza and give a window to where fans, and everyone's going to get, if you throw anything out there for free, someone's going to take it, right?
Yeah.
So people are going to be there to get the free pie. I don't know if I would wait online for hours to get a free pizza,
no,
but I get those that
do. No.
LeBron's also going to show up.
Yeah, no, you got to show up, and I got to tell you the
truth. Come on, meet the fans.
No, I've done a lot of meet and greets. I've done a lot of appearances in my career, and you know, sometimes it's tough. You sit there sometimes for hours. You're getting paid, and you're signing autographs, but, you know, I pride myself. I've never missed an appearance, and I think that if you're on the level of LeBron James, who's a household name, you're the newest thing, the hottest thing in the NBA forever, and now in Los Angeles, a great city out there in California, in Southern California, and then you show up? I mean, really? You don't show up, I should say? I mean, come on. And then he has the audacity, LeBron, to tweet. Haven't been to a pizza party in a minute with, like, the question thinking emoji, Culver City with a question mark with a piece of pizza. He quoted the tweet off of Blaze Pizza. Did you see this? Did you people see this? You saw this, right?
Yes, I did see it.
Okay. It's another hot cheese moment. We're good.
Okay. It's not just a California thing. I just did a search. There are Blaze Pizzas on the East Coast as well. I've never heard of the brand. I've never heard of the chain, but I'm sure it's delicious.
Hold on a second. Let's back up a second. You just threw that out there. Because I'm a pizza connoisseur.
There are Blaze Pizzas here. In the East Coast.
Really?
Staten Island, Jersey.
Real great brand.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. All bad. We'll take that out of the podcast, Mike. Let's edit that up.
Well, I had no idea.
Right. No, well, it's different. Usually here, for those that aren't from this area, we have privately owned smaller pizzeria places that, you know, we kind of pride ourselves on pretty good pizza here in New York City. So, you know.
Well, right. Pizza and bagels in New York are better than anybody else. Right.
Yeah.
Or as you like to say, what was that? The flagel? The thing they smashed down, the bagel?
Oh, flat bagel city. Yeah, flat bagel.
Flagel.
I'd never said the word flagel in my life, but.
A flagel.
I know what that is. I've never said flagel. That might be the first. Yes, Mike, you're about to talk. Speak.
Oh, no, go ahead. I had a comment about Blaze after, but continue the flagel.
I don't think I've ever said flagel.
I'm saying flagel.
Okay, that's congratulations. I'm very proud of you. Okay, Mike, what is your point?
Haven't been to a pizza party in a minute. Culver City?
I just read that.
I know.
An echo here. Mike, what's up?
Blaze is a Chipotle-style pizza joint where you go and you make your own toppings there, and they put it in the little oven. You get it out, so you go in. How you want to create your own pizza style.
I know about this. Actually, my kid told me about this. That's actually a good idea. You should go with your kids, Moose. That's a good idea. With little youngins, they'd love that.
Sure. I'm probably not going to be heading to Staten Island to a Blaze Pizza to have Jackson pick numerous different toppings to throw on a pie and then get it out of the oven and say, that
entertaining.
Looks gross.
Should be entertaining.
Well, that would be entertaining, right. The Blaze Pizza would never be the same.
Yeah, I'm sitting on the counter.
Cut Jackson and Paul loose in Blaze Pizza.
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, no doubt.
Blaze City, great.
Right,
don't
why?
Have any, Blaze.
Why? Where's the sausage?
Why?
Pepperoni.
Why? Pepperoni,
the,
Daddy.
The
pepperoni.
Toppings would be stacked to the, it would be 6 inches thick. The pizza would probably take about 45 minutes to cook. And then when the pizza came out of the oven, they'd be like, can I get cheese?
Yeah. The only thing is you wouldn't have to say to him, hey, look, look, kids, there's LeBron. He wouldn't be there. No show.
Melusis, here's your $80 pie. You went with 24 toppings?
They don't have, I guess they have all, you say they have all the toppings, right? So they got everything. Got the pepperoni.
Yeah, everything.
You got the extra cheese.
You like anchovies on a pie?
No, I don't like
olives.
Dried up. Yeah,
you know what
I don't
fell in love
that.
With lately? What? Olives and mushrooms on a pie.
That's kind of weak. Yeah, no,
that's
I don't
great.
Do that. I do more.
Olives and mushrooms are great.
Not on pizza. I do cured meats on pizza. I like cured meats. Super sad.
Gassy.
The pepperoni's kind of played out. I like meatballs, thin sliced meatball or crumpled sausage. Hot sausage. Yeah, everybody's head's
nodding.
Well, there
you go. Yeah,
crumpled sausage.
That's a nice topping, just like mushroom and olives.
Never discussed cold pizza about the cheese. I think we've discussed this before.
We've discussed cold cheese pizza.
Yeah, so for some folks that aren't from this area, maybe where you are,
Heat up a slice of pizza hot, and then you take cold mozzarella, put it over the top.
Cold mozzarella, and you put it on top.
Or mozzarella.
So if you want to tell us any of your pizza, you know, if you have cold pizza or something like that, you can call the show, 855-212-4227. We love to talk pizza throughout the show. That could be the threat of the
show. I'd be disappointed if I showed up at Blaze Pizza yesterday.
And no LeBron.
Made my pie.
Yeah.
LeBron's tweeting out Culver City, I'm there to see the king, and he doesn't show up.
Yeah,
I'd be disappointed.
I don't understand.
I would be disappointed.
How do you do that?
Now, my belly would be full. I'd get over my disappointment, and I'd just say, eh.
But why isn't there more outrage about this? Like, why are people on the West Coast?
These people were fed.
They were fed. I see.
Maybe there was bad traffic.
Well,
stop.
That happens in L.A. But like, I don't understand. Like,
you're
why?
An NBA apologist.
I would think that
the NBA could do no wrong to the Pasiglia.
Well, look, no, of course not.
That highways are the worst.
That's the best season. Thing about when football season comes around. The NBA's on hiatus, and then Mikey B won't have a smile on his face at all times.
Well, right. Well, that's well, the NFL
looking at a smile.
My team stinks.
That's exactly. We've got the assistant to the assistant this morning. I'm excited. That's.
Thanks. Good job, Mike.
Right. Outside the box.
Right. That's. He played basketball at Western Kentucky.
Hilltoppers.
The Hilltoppers.
That is the Hilltoppers.
It'll be a great spot. I heard him a couple months ago. On a podcast. No, one's...
no, we love the Pasiglia. He's great. Oh, man, he's great. But there's no bigger there said. Is no bigger fan of the NBA than Mike Pasiglia.
It's
I'll
impossible
tell you that.
To
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. One and done coming to an end in the NBA. We'll get the thoughts of the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver. We'll do that next. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I just don't want to continue the discussion. Was a little heated with myself and our producer. I'll get into details with Mike. About pizza, so I'm a little bit of a snob of where I live of the type of pizza, so I don't want to hear about pizza. He's telling me about pizza in Tokyo, in Japan,
right?
And how great it is. And I look at him. I said, "Have you ever been to Japan?" And he said, "No, but I've been to their sister restaurant in Brooklyn, New York." So I said, "What did they do?
Should be similar.
Did they ship the water?" And he goes, "Yes," which is a lie. Okay. And I have been to Japan multiple times. And I've.
Which you've articulated.
Yes. I've been everywhere. I've been all around the world. I'm worldwide. We know that.
Well understood.
Well, I've earned it.
I am not denying it.
So don't tell me about Japan, Mike, or anybody else here. Because nobody, I don't think. I shouldn't say nobody. That's unfair to say. But I.
Well, there are
the pizza
airplanes.
Japan
People
is
have,
not good.
The, you're not the only one to make the sojourn over to Japan. But I get the point.
It's not good pizza there, bro.
I don't think Bilotti is going to Japan for his honeymoon. Is that correct, Pete?
No. Okay.
You want to get a nice shrimp tempura roll? You go to Osaka. Okay. You want to get maybe some shumai or some gyoza? You go to Tokyo or Nagano. Mm. You're not going to the can I get a slice with pepperonis and mushroom? You're not doing that in Tokyo.
Things could change, though.
I'm done.
Things could change. Pasiglia is right. Things could change.
Anyways,
I'm looking forward to a nice flagel later on. Time now to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question. Be listening later on in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. We mentioned it going into break. Adam Silver, NBA commissioner, who is a very, very progressive, very proactive commissioner when you compare him to the other three commissioners of the four major sports that play in this country. Here's Adam Silver.
He's actually liked.
Yeah. Right. And here's Adam Silver talking about the one and done rule.
Personal view is that we're ready to make that change, that it won't come immediately. But that when I've weighed the pros and cons, that given that Condoleezza Rice and her commission has recommended to the NBA that those one-and-done players now come directly into the league, and in essence the college community is saying we do not want those players anymore, I think that sort of tips the scale in my mind.
Well, right. Now, there's got to be something where there is a little bit of a net for the one-and-done player. Because there is the one-and-done player like LeBron James, like, say, Carmelo Anthony would have been coming out of before he went to Syracuse for a year.
Right.
There are Marvin Bagley with Duke that could transition right to the NBA, right?
Yeah.
No question. The issue you have is the one-and-done, quote, player that gets bad information that declares for the NBA. I know we've had this conversation before in the past, Taz. I do think there should be a little safety net for that player that maybe is sold a bill of goods to where they then have an opportunity
to continue and go get their education and continue to play basketball if they made a decision and a bad one. It should not be a decision then that that dictates the next 10 years of their life.
Right. No, I understand that. I do. But it's just, it's, yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a different narrative where you can't have your cake and eat it too. I mean, once you get older, you're 18, I'm sorry, you're 19, 20 years old, and you got to
be. Well, you're talking about 18-year-olds. One and done, you're looking at 18 and 19-year-olds.
Right, okay, so 18, 19 years old. I mean, I have a son who's 19. So I look at him that he needs to be accountable, and my wife and I put that on him, just like my parents put that on me when I was 19. I assume you're same with you. So accountability, meaning like you're going to make the decision like this where you're going to leave an amazing institution where you're getting your education paid for, you're working hard as a college athlete, yada, yada, and get your education. Well, no, I think I want to go in the NBA. I want to make that money, and then it doesn't work. Now I have a chance to go back to college. That's a little tough.
Well, if I'm leaving, not everyone has the same support system.
Right, right.
Not everyone is given the right information. Not everyone is told the truth. Some people are told things because they're going to get their rear end kissed, because they have since they were 13 or 14 years of age, because they're viewed, say, as this quote-unquote basketball prodigy. I do think, Taz, as our country looking forward, I do think we could look at there are instances of guys that get bad information from street agents that clearly, who doesn't want to make money? Everybody wants to make money.
Right.
But if you go undrafted, there should be an opportunity for you to do something there. It should not be a case of, oh, go enjoy playing in Greece.
Right.
Or go enjoy making $40,000 a year playing in the developmental league. If you get an opportunity to play in the developmental league.
You go undrafted.
Go play. You go undrafted. You go undrafted. You don't get picked by an NBA team. I do think, now you want to say they can't play Division I, they could play Division II. You want to say that there should be an opportunity where that player, that example that I'm talking about, gets an opportunity to still take advantage of their God-given ability and get an education and better themselves if their dreams of being an NBA player at that point in time are not realized. From my perspective, I think there should be an avenue for that. Well, I don't know how realistic that is, but
I mean, I like the way you laid it out. You laid it out really well. What if you did this? What if you did this deal where you're going to go into the draft, you declare for the draft, the NBA draft, but you don't get picked up, to your point, from a squad, from a team?
Right.
Now, instead of that, you have to go D2 as opposed to D1. What if you just, let's say you're coming out of Duke and you play 1 year at Duke, you put yourself in the draft, it doesn't work out, you don't get drafted, you can't go back to Duke. But let's say, whatever, you know, Georgetown or Syracuse or, you know, whomever, they actively recruit you as a transfer student.
See, I look at that as a different example. I look at a guy that declares after 1 year of college differently than I look at the high school guy.
Yeah, I agree.
I look at that differently.
Oh, so wait, I'm talking
about the high school kid.
Oh, out of high school. I apologize. My bad. I misunderstood.
I'm talking about the 18-year-old high school kid.
I understand now. Yeah, yeah.
I think he deserves an opportunity if they get bad information to get their education. I think the individual that goes to college, say Duke,
yeah,
and says, all right, I'm done with school.
That's what I thought you meant.
Or Kentucky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And wants to, or whatever school, and declares for the NBA draft, well, then you've made your decision.
Yeah, because you're a little older. You got to be accountable. You played 1 year of ball.
You were a college student,
a student athlete for 1 year.
Right. And you would have to imagine you're getting, whether it be Krzyzewski, Calipari, Boeheim, go up and down the line, you're getting really good information about where you're
from.
If you're from a smaller program, right?
A mid-major,
I mean, right? But you were in college for a year. I feel bad for the kid. I would feel
coming
bad
out
for the
of high school. The guy,
coming
yeah,
out of high
yeah,
school,
that's a good point.
That makes the decision, doesn't get drafted, and then Taz, he's got nowhere to go.
Yeah,
he's got he can't get an education.
Yeah, I agree. I misunderstood you earlier. I jumped the gun. But
855-212-4CBS. We'll get into some more silver comments. We'll do that next. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.